Happy Sabbath. It's great to see each and every one of you here, even if we're a little thinner this Sabbath, that's okay. I came prepared for all the brisk, cold air on this almost summer day. Some people say, it's so hot. But I told the elders this morning, maybe we just need to breathe a little less and it won't be so hot in here. But no, some of you are regulars here. Some of you are visiting from down south, and we're so glad to see you. Some of you are visiting even from here in the Roseburg area, and we're so glad you are here and chosen to make this place the location of your worship on this Sabbath day. And I know you've heard me say before, thanks for your kindness to my wife and I. A little over a week ago, my wife and I, together with Charles and his wife, the same anniversary, and there was a little meal that was provided, and I thank the leadership from the community services for providing that. But I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear the word of God. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, we come to you because there is no one else. Where can we go to? For you have the words of life. And today, our great hunger is for Christ, your word. So send us your spirit and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have my dad's nose. I have my mom's cheeks. I have my mom's skin complexion. She's darker than my dad. I have my dad's walk. I have my mom's work ethic, but I have my dad's wisdom and humor. I have these features because, get this, they come from my parents. I came from my parents. I know that that's not rocket science, but the kids sing, first comes love, then comes marriage, then came Pastor Tony in the baby carriage. God said that he would be doing amazing things in the beginning of what we read in the Genesis account when he created mankind. Our scripture reading pointed to that. Verse 26, the Bible says, of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. This making of mankind would be happening by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with Jesus being the executor of the will of God because he is the Word of God made flesh. The Bible says that they would be making man in whose image? In our image, referring to God. Wow. To be made in the image of God. What an amazing idea. I mean, this like blows my mind. It's beyond my comprehension because he is holy and I am not. He is righteous and I have none of my own. He is compassionate, but if I look to Jesus, he'll make me compassionate. He'll make me holy. He will make me righteous. He is just and I am not, but if I look to Jesus, he'll make me just. He wants me, he wants you to look like him. In verse 27 of Genesis chapter 1, God is referred to as the creator in just a few lines. Count them, 5 times. It's as if God knew that the devil will be coming to try to put lies in our minds about where man came from. But there's some other things that God not only told Adam and Eve, but told us to do as well. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I was asked in regards to my sermon title, because my sermon title is Be Fruitful and Multiply. The question came was, are you preaching about marriage? And I said, kinda. We know that God created marriage, and within the context of marriage, God desires that man and wife look like him. As they looked like God, then God would do something before them. The Bible says that he blessed them. Isn't it awesome to have the blessings of God? And this is what happens when we are with God. Granted, he causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, but God has a little extra blessing up his sleeve, and I reckon those are big sleeves. Have you ever noticed that when we leave God's side, it doesn't go too good? Or is that just me? I mean, we could try to kid ourselves into thinking that that temporary pleasure was permanent, but it's just that. It's temporary. It's very short-lived. How many of us want God's blessing? Amen. All of us do, and today we can have even more of it. After God blesses Adam and Eve, now he tells them to do what? My sermon title is the clue. Be fruitful and multiply. Marriage was God's idea between a man and a woman. Sexual intimacy within marriage was also God's idea, not the devil's. God tells our first parents, be intimate and have tons of babies. Fill this planet with all these babies, basically. And what we just finished taking a look at is God's recipe for growing the church, aka evangelism. What do you mean evangelism, Pastor? You heard me right, evangelism. What is evangelism? Isn't that where we have a whole bunch of babies? Isn't that where the family of God grows? If that's the case, then how would you suppose that happens? Well, let's see what the Bible says, Leviticus 26, verse 9. Leviticus 26, verse 9, the Bible says, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. It's God who does it in us and through us. God is in the business of growing his church, amen? Notice it says, I will look favorably upon you. I will confirm my covenant with you. You see, the spirit of prophecy says that when Jesus started talking about the Beatitudes, the greeting of heaven was, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. God is in the blessing business. Hallelujah. And God is still wanting to make us into his likeness. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 45, Ellen White writes, man was to bear God's image, both in outward resemblance and in character. Christ alone is the express image, Hebrews 1 verse 3, of the Father. But man was formed in the likeness of God. His nature was in harmony with the will of God. He wants us to look like him, and the Bible says that it happens this way, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Looking to Jesus. Have you looked to Jesus lately? Point number one. This sermon has 4 points. Here's the first one. Evangelism starts when I look to Jesus. Why would I look to Jesus? Because the Bible tells me that he first loved us. That's why I would look to Jesus. Because he's the only one who can get me out of sin and out of death. Why would I look to Jesus? Because he is my only hope and wants to be my best friend. When I was young, I used to think that babies came from storks. I'll never forget the day that my mom sat me down, broke out the encyclopedia, and just saying that word makes me feel old because their encyclopedias are almost obsolete. And she started to teach me about the human body with its reproductive system. You know, the same question that we had as children about where babies come from. The church at times makes that same question. Where do babies come from? How does the baby get in there? How does the baby get in the belly? How does the church get pregnant? Well, how did Eve get pregnant? Let's see what the Bible says, because it wasn't the water. Genesis 4, verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Adam knew his wife, the Bible says, and I reckon that she also knew him. How beautiful. The first Adam knew his wife, and there was children. And when the second Adam, Jesus Christ, is with his wife, known as the church, look what happens. John 17, verse 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 17, verse 3. I like using the Bible because I could be wrong. And this is what? Life eternal, that they might what? Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And this requires, according to a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus one night, the new birth. It requires baptism. You think knowing Jesus is a matter of life or death? I believe so. Hosea 4, verse 6, the Bible says. Hosea 4, verse 6, right after Daniel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Having an experience with Jesus is elemental. It is the basics to our walk with Christ and knowing him who is the way, the truth, and the life. My question is, do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about whether or not you can recognize him in a picture or a painting or portrait. I'm talking about whether or not you know Jesus as your Savior. Are we in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? If that answer is an immediate yes, praise the Lord. But if there is some thinking, man, where am I? In? Are things going good? Are things going not so good? Then they might not be showing that I know Jesus as much as I thought I did. Do you remember, as Revelation 2 verse 4 says, your first love? Do you remember the first time you ever heard about Jesus? The first time you accepted his salvation? The first time you received his forgiveness for your sins? The first time you opened your heart to him? Wasn't that awesome? Even though some time could have passed since that first time or that first love, we can still experience that today. Point number two. Evangelism continues as I daily get to know Jesus. I'll say that again for you note takers. Evangelism continues as I daily get to know Jesus. And as we get to know Jesus more, we also learn what the Bible says and thus made decisions to be baptized, of which if you have not been baptized, you need to start making plans to do so. I know there's at least one person who's making plans. Praise the Lord. You see, baptism is a symbol of many things, and two I will share. It's a symbol of us getting married to Jesus, and Jesus has family. It's called the church. But baptism is also a symbol of what kind of birth? The new birth. The watery grave. You see this place right here? That's the delivery room. Seriously, we're talking about the new birth. We're talking about baptism. That's delivery room. Baptism is where we are married to Jesus. You see, this being fruitful and multiplying has everything to do with marriage and what is done in marriage. That's why every day I need to be with my God, because it was at baptism that I married my God. I went to college with someone from Syria. I started my theological training in Venezuela, South America, and he was in his senior year, and word got out that he was getting married. And as graduation was approaching, we started noticing that he wasn't not only not excited about graduation, he also wasn't excited about getting married. Usually there's a lot of excitement. He then shared with us that he does not know his wife. You see, this was a prearranged wedding where he was going to meet his wife on wedding day. Not sure how many of us would sign up for that. I don't think I would. But you know what? He was willing to get married and married that woman. Even though he didn't know her, he trusted his parents and submitted to the custom of his culture. But I'm not too worried about him. My question is, are we willing to know Jesus more? As we come into a saving relationship with Christ, now he wants you and I to grow more than we ever have in the past. How is it that Joseph and Mary's family grew? How is it that Mary got pregnant? Of whom did the angel tell Joseph that the child was of? Matthew 1 verse 20 tells us, oh, the child is of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit is he who prompts us to get closer to Jesus. You ever hear that voice that says, you know what? Are you really heading out of the house without praying? That was the Holy Spirit. That voice that says, you know, now would be a great time to read the Bible and spend some time with the Lord. That voice that you don't, that you hear, yet nobody else is around. And you're not hearing things. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that encourages us to look to Jesus more. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of things that we know that Jesus would never do. You see, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as Scott sang, we are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, we have love. Not just for the people that love us back, but love for the people that drive us up the wall. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, now we have joy. I once had a saint tell me, Pastor, you smile too much. I told that saint, well, you're going to have to get used to it, because if the day comes that I die, I will be smiling in my casket. Why? Because I got some Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have joy, even if it's raining outside. When you have Jesus and are filled with his Spirit, you got peace in the storm. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, now you got patience, even though things aren't going at the pace that you would want them to go. When you're filled with the Spirit, people treat you mean and you are nice to them anyway. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives if we are willing. When I'm not willing, that's where the scripture is fulfilled, where I might be grieving the Holy Spirit. But when I say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I will submit my will to yours because I am willing. Now God does some amazing things. Let me tell you about some willing, Spirit-led people. You don't have to tell these people to read their Bibles because they're too busy not only reading it but sharing the Bible. You don't have to tell these people to go to prayer meeting because they're too busy trying to get people to go to prayer meeting. You don't have to tell them about tithes and offerings because they are willing givers. They do it naturally. Why? Because they are with Jesus. He is the common denominator. He makes everything happen in our lives. I don't know about you, But I'm realizing I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. How about you? Point number three. Evangelism occurs when we are filled, led, empowered, and changed by the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Evangelism occurs when we are filled, led, empowered, and changed by the Holy Spirit. We know we should do evangelism, and we could be tempted to think that it works from the outside in. Actually, it's the other way around. It's from the inside out. Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, 15 verse 4 and 5 rather, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear what? Fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what kind of fruit? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nada. Nothing. You see, it's the Jesus in me that shines. It's the Jesus in me that people are wanting to see. Your spouse is waiting to see the Jesus in you. Your children are waiting to see the Jesus in you. Our neighbors are waiting to see the Jesus in us. Our church members are waiting to see the Jesus in us. And this city and everywhere we go, they're waiting to see what Jesus looks like. And you and I, the Bible tells me, are his ambassadors. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw who? All men unto me. You see, Jesus is not sterile. There is fruit, there is action, and results of being with Jesus. That's if we want to be with him. Do you want to be with Jesus? We've been blessed as a church with baptisms this past year. And I praise God for every soul that has come into the church through different evangelistic efforts that we've had or through personal evangelism. But you know what? Good is not good enough. I believe that God is calling us to do greater things through his strength. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, what's the big deal of whether or not we have baptisms or not? What's the big deal if we do evangelism or not? Actually, it is a big deal, and I'll tell you why. A church that's with Jesus is a church that looks like Jesus and is led by his Spirit and has an influx of babies called baptism. I've given and continue to give Bible studies and do backflips when someone makes that decision to be baptized. But I also know of the one that got away. Of the one that turned their back on Jesus. Of the one that unfortunately did not receive the last invitation. And then I'll hear of their passing. And in some cases, I may have been the last one who saw them alive as I pleaded with them to open their hearts to Jesus. You see, for God, that person who says no is like that baby that never made it to full term. And let me tell you, that's pain. Deep. Does the salvation of others mean something to you? How about the salvation of the person next to you? Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. You see, your salvation means something to me. You want to know why? Because my salvation meant something to him. That's why. When we realize of what it cost the Father to save me from sin and death, that starts changing how I view others. It changes my indifference towards them. I believe that our church is an army. And every army has its sharpshooters, its snipers. And I'll be the first to tell you that not everyone in the army is a sharpshooter. How do I know? Because some of us wear very, very thick glasses. And that's okay. I used to do as well. But in an army, we have commanders, we have cooks, we have medics, we have nurses, we have maintenance, we have security, and so on. And so we do as well in the church. And I praise God that not everyone is a cook, because not everyone has that gift. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, those who are cooks, they need a cook. Those who are medics, they need to heal. For those that are commanders, they need to lead. And those who are sharpshooters, they need to shoot. And with this size of army as Better Life Roseburg Seventh-day Adventist Church, we could use at least 20 sharpshooters. Don't take that literal. I'm talking about the Word of God being shared. Point number four. Evangelism happens when we work together proactively, planning evangelistic events and initiatives. Aren't you glad that we're having evangelistic meetings this fall? When is that happening? September, to be exact. Make plans to be part of this. How did I come into this world? Well, my mom and dad got together, and the rest is history. When I was born, they looked at me and saw some details in me, and they said, you know, he has my this, he has my that. And time went by, and more I looked like my parents, not just physically, but also in character. The same thing happens in the church when the church is with Jesus. How are we with Jesus? Because he's the one who blesses us, he's the one who makes us fruitful, and he's the one who multiplies us. Every sermon has a so what in it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, preacher, you said all that you needed to say. What's the so what about it? Well, here's the so what. What's the big deal about looking to Jesus, about looking like Jesus through his Spirit and being fruitful and multiplying? It's this. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus will soon return. And the proclamation of this good news and this invitation to save the lost will be given through people like you and like me. As we let him bless us, as we seek him and are changed into his likeness. And this morning, I'd like to share a little song about that day. Let us listen. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. I'll applaud here with thunders of praise. A sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall then face to face. We shall behold him. Yes, we shall.
Our
That's the so what. He's coming soon. We don't have an opinion. The hymn says we have this hope. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. May today we look to Jesus. May today we look more like Jesus. May today we be willing to be transformed by the Spirit and work together for his glory. For soon we shall see Jesus. And may we not be ready ourselves, but with all of his children. May the Lord bless us.